song books out for just a minute. Turn to 504, please. I didn't ask Todd to lead this song today, but Todd knows this is one of my favorite songs. And this is going to go very well with the lesson that we're going to talk about today. The lesson being the brick wall miracle. And you're thinking, from the scripture reading, I'm sure, possibly, this is going to be a lesson upon Jesus in the garden, his suffering, what he went through. And that's going to be a little bit different lesson this morning than what you might be thinking. We're going to talk about the brickyard miracle. Look at this song for just a minute. And as we go through this lesson, I want you to think about the words of this song. Teach me, Lord, to wait, down on my knees, till in your own good time you answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Teach me, Lord, to wait while hearts are aflame. Let me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed, my eyes on thee. Let me be on this earth what you want me to be. And then it goes on with the verse. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. The brick wall miracle. What does it mean when we say, I've hit a brick wall? We've all used that term before. When you're on a diet. I'm on one right now. I got going on it pretty good. Lost a few pounds, and guess what? I hit a brick wall. Couldn't lose anymore. Wasn't working. Had to figure something else out. What about a runner when he's running? He gets to running and he's going so far, and you know, he's been into it 1 mile, 2 miles, 3 miles. What happens? Hits a brick wall. Hard to breathe. Doesn't know if he can survive it. His lungs start burning. Feeling pretty bad. What's he got to do? Stop and give up? No, he's got to keep working through it. Keep running through it. His lungs will continue to gather the air they need. He can finish the race. Swimmers do the same thing. And other different sports. You have all different types of sports where we use that as an example, hitting a brick wall. When you say, I've hit a brick wall, means you come to a point in your life where things just aren't working out very well. You got to do something different to move on. I want to, first of all, before we get into the actual reading that we had this morning, I want to go over to Elijah. So if you will, go over to 1 Kings and talk about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 2 through 19. I must be nervous this morning a little bit, which I am, but I got up here and I got my lesson here and I decided I'd go ahead and get that first scripture put on my tablet here to read. And I started looking for Elijah and I couldn't find it. So then I realized I was supposed to be over in 1 Kings. Okay, so we're going to go, let's go to 1 Kings. I want to look at a couple of Old Testament characters this morning, first of all, from a different perspective than what we've looked at in the past. And then I want to go to some New Testament characters or individuals. I don't like calling them characters because then it seems like a storybook thing. They are individuals. They truly lived and these things truly did happen to them. So first of all, let's talk about Elijah over in 1 Kings chapter 19. And we'll go through verses 2 through 19 and then just briefly talk about it. There will be some scripture reading today. So if you can and you would, grab your Bibles and please follow along. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, as we remember back and we're looking at this reading, they had already had the contest on the mountain. Elijah, God had come down and consumed all of Elijah's sacrifice, and they had killed all of the prophets of Baal. And so since Elijah had killed all of the prophets of Baal, Jezebel was not happy with the fact that he had killed all of her prophets. So she sent a messenger to Elijah telling him that her gods was saying, let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So she threatened and told him she was going to have him put to death. So when he saw that, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a jar of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid himself down again. And the angel of the Lord came again to him the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that food 40 days and nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what do you here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in peace the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what do you hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and slain your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shall you anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shall you anoint to be prophet in your place. And I'm going to stop there, because I've already read where I want to make the point. As we see Elijah fleeing for his life, he's not doing the work that God had told him to do. He felt he had done enough. But what did God ask him? Twice. Elijah, what are you doing here? What's going on? And then he gave him direction, as we see down a little bit further. Verses 15 through 18, and even in 18, he tells Elijah, as Elijah's thinking he's the only one left doing the work of God, he says, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him. Elijah was feeling sorry for himself. He thought he was the only one left, and now Jezebel was going to kill him. He failed to see what God wanted him to do and continue with. And God said, what are you doing? What are you doing here? Why are you running away? So he sent him with work to do. In verses 15 through 17, he told him what he needed to be about doing and to get up and go do the work. Turn over with me to Jonah, and I want to look at Jonah for a few minutes, again in a different light. We saw here where Elijah hit a brick wall, and he failed to do what God wanted him to do. Jonah chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid its fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And as we continue with this story, we know that a fierce storm came up, and Jonah was thrown overboard, and God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of this fish for 3 days. And let's turn over to chapter 3 now, and again read verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, again, giving him command to go, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey around it. And as we go further into that and read, as he went to Nineveh, and the people repented in sackcloth and ashes, Jonah was upset about it because he didn't feel like they deserved, God forgave them and spared that city. And Jonah was upset about it because in his mind he felt that because of their sin and their wickedness, they needed to be destroyed. But he hit a brick wall when we see in Jonah the first chapter. He hit a brick wall when God told him the first time, Jonah, I need you to go. Teach these people. Let them know of their sins, and perhaps they will repent. Jonah said, I don't have anything to do with that. He ran and fled from God. He was punished. God gave him a command again and said, Jonah, you go to Nineveh. Jonah got past his brick wall. He got up and he went to Nineveh and he taught the people. Well, how did these men overcome their obstacles? They turned back to God, first of all. And then God put them back to work doing what he had directed them to do. Let's take a moment now and let's go on over to the New Testament. And we're going to look at some New Testament individuals who hit a brick wall. Let's go and look at Peter. And we've got several verses on these, and I really need to cover all of these to get the gist of what I'm wanting to talk about with Peter here. So let's go over to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to go down to verses 54 through 62. Then they took him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maidservant beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied it, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while another saw him and said, you are also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And after the space of about 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what you say. And immediately while he yet spoke, the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crows, you shall deny me 3 times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We see Peter's denial here of Christ and how he had originally, if you remember back in the garden, or back at when they were partaking of the Jesus establishing the Lord's Supper, Peter had said, I will go with you even to death. And then we turn right around just a few short hours later and he denies that he even knows him. Turn over now to John chapter 21. And let's continue this thought here. John chapter 21. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 17. He says, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love you. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. We see here in these verses that we've read, Peter had hit a brick wall. He had denied the very one whom he said he would die for. After Jesus was buried, Peter left and went off back to his old job that he used to do. And that was fishing. And he was out fishing when this took place. And Jesus called them in from fishing and was talking to them. And he talked to Peter. And this is what he told him. He said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Turn over with me now to Acts chapter 2, and let's see what happens. How is Peter going to handle this brick wall? When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them separated tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was sounded abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, or in our own tongue, in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, and in all parts of Libya about Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What means this? Others said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea, and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And then we read from there on this first sermon that Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost. Peter got over his brick wall by going back to work and doing what he had been taught to do by Christ while he was here on this earth. We see further along over in chapter 10, we see where Peter has a vision. And these different animals are let down in a sheet. And Peter's told to eat. And he says, I can't eat anything common or unclean, because there were different animals in there that were representative of the Jew that they weren't supposed to eat. He says, I can't eat anything unclean. This happened three times. Then a messenger sent from Cornelius, who was a Gentile. And Peter was requested and sent to go teach to the Gentiles. Peter got up. Peter went. Peter did the work. That's how Peter got over his brick wall. Let's look at Thomas for a minute. He's the next individual we're going to look at. Let's go to John. And we're going to go to chapter 20. And we're going to look at verses 24 through 28. Thomas had a brick wall too that he hit. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This would be the first time. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. There are times in our lives when we hit a brick wall that there's nothing else that's going to get us past that brick wall but our faith. Period. That's just the way it is. There are times where we can do things for ourselves that we can get over a brick wall, and we can get past a brick wall. We can break through a brick wall. But there are other times in our lives where we're just going to have to pray to God and have the faith that we need to have that He's going to help us get through the brick wall, whatever it might be. This, I believe, was the case of Thomas. He couldn't get past the fact that unless he physically saw his Lord and Savior and saw these particular things, there was no way he was going to believe that he was risen. He had to see it for himself. And once that happened, his faith was renewed, and he again saw his Lord and Savior. Let's look at the rich young ruler. Another totally different story, but let's go over to Matthew 19. And we're going to read verses 16 through 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, Which? And Jesus said, You shall do no murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said unto him, All these things I've kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If you will be perfect, or complete, the idea here of being perfect is being complete, go and sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. The rich young ruler, where did he hit his brick wall? He hit the brick wall when he found out that there was something else. He thought he was complete. He already had in his mind that he was doing everything right and everything was going good. But when it was brought to his attention that he had something else that he needed to work at, he hit a brick wall. He was very wealthy, and he was told to give that wealth to the poor and the needy. And he didn't want to give that up. He couldn't get over his brick wall. Let's look at Judas. What about Judas? Was he able to get over his brick wall? Let's take a look. Matthew 27 and verses 3 through 5. Now to preface this, Judas had taken the mob to the garden, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. Judas had betrayed his Lord and Savior with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. Judas was greedy. He loved money. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Judas really didn't, in his own mind, didn't really think anything was going to happen to Jesus. He knew who Jesus was. He knew he was the Son of God. And the only thing I can figure out in my mind was the fact that he thought that since Jesus could perform miracles and do all of these things, he could get out of it. He would figure out some way to get out of this, and Judas would be off with the 30 pieces of silver, better for himself. But we see here that didn't happen. Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, repented and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See you to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas hit a brick wall. Judas did not get over his brick wall. He didn't break through his brick wall. Could he have? Yes. He could have repented and asked forgiveness, but he chose not to. He took his own life. He went out and hanged himself. Let's go back to our text now. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 22. And I want to look at this as those who saw but did not see. Have you ever seen somebody will put a picture in front of you? And it's, I don't remember what they're called, but it's like it plays tricks with your eyes. And so you have to really, really focus in on the picture or the design to see what's hidden behind it. Many times it's in three dimension. And if you focus on it really hard, you don't see just the front. You look deeper into it and you'll see what the picture is. Well, that's why I said this. They saw, but they did not see. Let's read this again. We're going to read 47 through 53 now. And while he yet spoke, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him, this being Judas. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayed you the Son of Man with a kiss? And why did he ask him that? A kiss was supposed to represent love, fellowship, friendship. And here Judas is using a kiss to betray him. When they who were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And in other texts, we know that that was Peter. Jesus answered and said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders who come to him, "Do you come out as against a thief with swords and clubs? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." We find Jesus here in the garden with his apostles. Judas comes into the garden with a multitude of people following him. And I want to go over to John chapter 18 now and read what John has to say about this. John chapter 18, verses 3 through 11. And again, this is John's version of his writing of what happened. "Judas, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, 'Whom seek ye?' And they answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said unto them, 'I am he.' And Judas also, who betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, 'I am he,' they went backward and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Whom seek ye?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus answered, 'I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke of them, which you gave me, have I lost none.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus condemns Peter for this and tells him to put his sword away." So we find in John that it was Peter who struck with the sword and whose ear was cut off was Malchus. And we find over in Luke that Jesus asked them to permit him. He said, "Permit this." And he went ahead and performed this miracle and put Malchus' ear back on. We find Jesus in the garden with his apostles. They come to take Jesus away. The apostles at this point still did not understand that Jesus' kingdom was not to be an earthly one. They stand ready to defend him, even though they are few in number. John 18 tells us it was Peter who cut off Malchus' ear. John also records that this was a detachment of troops and officers sent by the high priest and the Pharisees. These were a detachment of the Jewish guard of the temple under the direction of the Sanhedrin. Now I want to get to the main point of this lesson as we've looked at all of this. When the mob saw this miracle, we read here in John where they dropped to their knees, but it wasn't because of what they saw. They could have accepted Jesus as their true Messiah and their Savior. They just saw him put a man's ear back on his head and heal it. They saw, but they did not see. They could have accepted him as their Savior, but they chose not to. With this many people coming to take Jesus away, you would think that at least some would have realized who he was and accepted him. They knew of him. They knew of his work. And yet they could not get past their brick wall. Well, in closing today, let's think about ourselves. How about us today? Do we have what it takes to get past our brick wall? We all have them. I don't know what your brick wall is that you're up against today. Maybe you're tired of teaching. Maybe it's a struggle to come back this afternoon to worship God. Could be something like smoking. Could be alcohol. Could be many different things. We all have things that we struggle with. The question now is, as a child of God, how are you going to deal with it? And if you're not a child of God, how will you deal with that? One thing I do know that Jesus can help you. He tells us to bring our cares to him. But only if we make a sincere effort to break through our own brick walls. We each have to work at it. Just like we've seen God's people in times past go back to work. We talked about them today. Out of the six, two failed. The others chose to do what God wanted them to do. And they went back to work doing what they needed to do, and they broke through their brick wall. Just like we've seen God's people in time past go back to work, so we must go back to work by breaking through the obstacles that are in our way. He tells us in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This is one of the many blessings we receive as His children. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, we're told, "There humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you." Trying to get rid of our brick wall, we may have to cast the bricks of our wall one brick at a time to get rid of them. We may have to just chip away at it, chip away at it, chip away at it till we get that wall knocked down. But at least we're working at it. Others of us may have the ability and capability once we hit a brick wall, as a runner does, or as, you know, if you're on a diet, at some point you just bust right through it and you just keep on going. But regardless of which way you do it, you're working at it. And that's the concept, the idea here. We should do as Jonah did in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 2. "I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and He answered me." One may ask then, if I'm not a child of God, how do I become one of His children and break through my brick wall? Well, He's given us a simple plan to follow. He tells us in Romans 10:17, if we but hear His word, we have to hear the word and see what He tells us we have to do. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we must believe, but not just believe the word, we have to believe He is Jesus the Savior. Luke 13:3 tells us we have to repent. We have to repent of our past, repent of our sins, and turn around and start living a Christian life the way God wants us to, as He tells us in His word. Matthew 10:32 tells us that we must confess His name. And that doesn't mean just coming forward and standing here in front of everybody and saying, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." That's part of it. But it means every day of your life from there on out, through your example, through the way you live, the things that you do, how you act, that is confessing Jesus to others. And then Mark 16:16 tells us that we must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of sins. And then Revelation 2:10 tells us that after that, as a child of His, once we become His child, we must live faithful and remain faithful the rest of our lives. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to sin at times? Yes. Do we have a way to get rid of that sin? Yes. We can go to God in prayer, and He says He will forgive us if we ask Him. This is God's plan for salvation, not man's. Life's not easy. We're all going to have brick walls. But God will help us through those brick walls. And we can break through if we just let Him. If you're a child of His this morning and you're struggling with a brick wall, ask Him to help you. Pray about it. Pray and put forth a renewed effort to overcome that brick wall that you're struggling with. It's not going to happen if we just pray and think God's going to perform a miracle for us. It's going to take effort by all of us to break through our brick walls. But prayer comes first. Put prayer in your life if you're not doing so, or if you've failed to pray as you should. Pray to God and ask Him to help you through those brick walls. And He will. If we, as your brothers and sisters, we're told to help each other. If you've got a brick wall you're struggling with and you know there's somebody in our group that has already been through something like this, go to them. Ask them how they did it. What do you know that I'm not getting that can help me break through my brick wall? That's what we're all here for, is to help one another so that we can all be better children of God and that we can all get to heaven. We'll do our best to help you overcome your brick wall. If we can assist, regardless of whatever your need may be this morning, if we can assist you in any way possible, whether it be helping you with becoming a new child of God, or if you've got something in your life you want to pray about, whatever we can do to help you in any way possible, please come forward or raise your hand. We'll come to you and we'll do whatever we can. And so if you would, let it be known at this time as we stand and sing the invitation song.